Penguin Random House Audio presents Loving Your Black Neighbor as Yourself, A Guide to Closing the Space Between Us. This is the author, Shantae Griffin. To my mother, Vivi, who taught me to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. To my father, Bobby, who taught me to pursue my dreams. And to my Aunt Jackie, my godmother, who remained resolute in God's goodness until the end. Before you begin, Blackness is my mother tongue, my very first love language. I was birthed in a Black Pentecostal church. My dark-skinned body was birthed into choir rocks and hand claps. My spirit reborn in the cool baptismal pool. My speech refined with new tongues, and my future prophesied into being. I don't remember my parents, barely adults themselves, keeping my little sister and me on any precious sleeping schedule. 6 o'clock dinner, 7 o'clock bath, 8 o'clock bedtime story. I do remember falling asleep at church to the sound of the drummer's snare and the organ's sirens. I remember women shouting and wailing and being ensconced by other women in white who fanned them as they lay outstretched on the floor, discreetly covered by white sheets. My sis and me were church babies, children whose sleep can withstand the preacher's whoops and the congregation's hollers, permanent fixtures at most Black Pentecostal churches. We usually passed out on the pews clutching our children's Bible to keep Satan from prying them from us. Sometimes we wore bows in our hair and lace on our socks, accented by the Black patent leather shoes our mothers bought us for Easter service. Sometimes we sported little wool jackets and bow ties that matched our father's. We'd been taught we must always look good for God. I remember children's church, where I learned that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. I remember Sunday night service, Thursday night Bible study, and Saturday morning choir rehearsal. For the first 10 years of my life, my world was completely black. I attended an all-black church in South Central Los Angeles, and that church's all-Black private Christian school, and my family lived in an adjacent all-Black neighborhood. I remember only one exception to this all-Black world, Cindy, the only non-Black person in our entire K-8 school. Cindy was Filipina, wore a short bob with bangs, and always had a lot of money. And when I say a lot of money, I mean $5. I knew about other racial groups, but I never interacted with them. My experience was not uncommon for a young Black girl living in South Central Los Angeles in the 1980s. The Black world was the only one I knew, and it felt safe. Even with the helicopters that sometimes flew above my neighborhood as I played double dutch with my friends on the cracked concrete pavement. To us, Blackness was as natural and unassuming as the daily sunrise. It's amazing how much self-esteem we built as the standard and not the deviant. I didn't know to cherish these moments. I didn't know that my world would turn upside down when my parents decided we were moving on up to a neighborhood in the San Fernando Valley, where my sister and I would become 2 of 4 Black kids in an entire elementary school. There, I learned that the outside world didn't just not see us. It didn't love us. From my heart to the page. When my family left our all-Black world in South LA in 1988, I became aware of racism for the first time. That's when I first saw the robbery. Most of the Black students weren't tracked into the honors and advanced placement classes in school, despite their undeniable brilliance. Resources for schools, parks, and jobs often bypassed areas with large Black populations and went straight to more affluent,
predominantly white neighborhoods. My neighbors tried to rob me of my dignity by calling me the N-word, insisting my black skin wasn't beautiful, and purposefully looking past me to serve the white man behind me in line. Inside my all-black world, all I felt was love, but outside it, I could see the loveless forces that had crammed us together in a quote-unquote concrete jungle in hope of never having to be neighbors with us. In my new multiracial world, love was as consistent as fleeting middle school crushes, and the inconsistency would mark my psyche for years to come. They say that your childhood experiences lay the foundation for your future. They're right.
I've spent most of my career intentionally serving my Black neighbors. First, as a university chaplain working with Black collegians, and then as a director at a nonprofit primarily serving Black and Latino, Latina students. Today, as a journalist, I write about the intersection of race, culture, and faith. Like actor Cuba Gooding Jr. declared in the film Jerry Maguire, "I love Black people. My love for us is as deep as forever and as wide as eternity." So loving your Black neighbor as yourself is a natural outpouring of my love for Black people, a way to show my love and a guide for others to lavishly love their Black neighbors.
Partly a how-to book and partly a grow-into book, at its core, this is a spiritual formation book designed to help you become someone who loves your Black neighbor multidimensionally. The first part of the book is designed to help grow your love for God, your Black neighbor, and yourself. The second part is designed to show you practical ways to love your Black neighbor. With this in mind, the book is meant to be experienced rather than simply heard. You will encounter prose, poetic interludes, heart checks, imagined listening exercises, and prayer pauses, all designed to help you deeply engage with the material. I encourage you to take your time with every part of this book. When I ask you to pause, please don't skip ahead. Please use every instance as an opportunity to grow. Immerse yourself in the imagination exercises. Honestly search your heart, write your thoughts, and reflect during the checks. Pray, beloved. Pray like your heart depends on it, because it does. Urgently seek out and engage the spirit of love, and the spirit will engage you right back. So take your time. Sip the words in this book like a fine wine. If you're able, listen to this book alongside community, your family, friends, neighbors, or small group. If you want, host a group discussion or book club meeting. Having others to talk and share with will only help your journey. Although this book is written primarily to white people and non-Black people of color, it is a love tome meant to love and honor the Black community. This book is for anyone who wants to love their Black neighbor anew. If you're not Black, then this book is definitely for you. If you're Black, then this book may be for you too, because we aren't necessarily immune from the ways racism, colorism, and classism have colored how we view and love one another. So while some parts of the book may resonate with you more than other parts, I hope the stories in its pages make you feel seen, loved, and honored. No matter who you are or where you're from, I hope you feel seen, loved, and honored as you listen. I hope you can receive this book the same way I received it, with an open mind and an open heart. Lexicon and language. Language is critical. It can include, exclude, uplift, and reshape. As we enter this author-listener conversation, a shared language will help connect us. So allow me a moment to get us both on the same page. Who is black.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?